This is Lisa Stone for Parenting Aces, and I am in the Sky Sports booth with Judy Murray, mom of Andy and Jamie Murray. And Judy, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I know you're here this week with two hats on. You're here as a tennis mom watching your sons play, but you're also here as a coach. And I'm wondering what the difference is for you when you're watching your own sons play versus when you're watching the juniors play that you're working with.
Well, it's definitely not as stressful watching other people's children playing than watching your own. I think the emotional attachment to your own kids always makes it much more tense, really. So I kind of understand, obviously, what other parents are going through. But I think because I've been a coach since my kids were quite small, that's always helped me to not be overly emotionally involved in, I can look at the match from a coach's perspective and I can read what's happening, I can see what's happening, I can understand the sort of things that you need to learn from a particular performance. And that's always, I think, helped me to kind of cope with that whole winning and losing thing, that, you know, you can take the performance and you can see the good things about it and also the things that you need to be improved on. And I think all the way through Jamie and Andy's careers, that's how it's been for me, is always like looking at trying to look as objectively as possible at the performance and how you can help them to improve on that.
And how has your involvement and your reaction when you're watching them changed through the juniors and now as professional players? I know I've asked other parents this, and they say it's almost harder watching their children compete at the professional level than it was at the junior level. I'm wondering if you feel the same way.
Well, I think, at the junior level, it should all be about fun and learning, you know, whether that's learning to train, learning to compete, or learning to win, or just learning the life of a tennis player, the business of a tennis player, the demands of the game. It's just all a big adventure, I think. And the most important thing for kids, whatever age they are, is that they're enjoying what they're doing, because if they're enjoying what they're doing, they're going to stay in the game longer, and obviously for the right reasons. And I think as they've got older and certainly progressed through the professional ranks, it does get tougher, I think, particularly with Andy, because the expectations of him are so high now that it's almost like, you know, he's expected to get to the finals or he's expected to win things because of where his ranking is. And that sometimes makes it tougher to deal with, I think when you're coming through the junior ranks and when you're starting to break into the seniors, there's so much in front of you to achieve, and there's not so much pressure on you because there are loads of people to have a go at, lots of players ranked above you to have a go at. And when you're right up at the top of the game, everybody else is behind you, and you've got a lot to protect and defend. And I think it's got tougher. I've found it more stressful the more successful they've been, definitely.
And as a mom, do you have these conversations with your boys still?
not so often, I think. More with Jamie, not so much with Andy. He has a very strong team of people around him, and they're there for a reason, and they are manage his, you know, his tennis business, you know, the on-court business, and they do a very, very good job of it, and they have way more experience than me. But I think you also have to remember that the team of people that are around a professional athlete, they're all paid to be there, and that's their job. whereas your family and your friends are there because, you know, they love you and they care for you, and they have no vested interest other than to help you be the best that you can be. So, you know, there are some things that are probably easier to discuss with family than they are maybe to discuss with your own team.
At one point, you made a decision to let Andy go train out of the country in Spain. I'm wondering how that impacted your family, and was it a tough decision to come to, or, you know, was it... it just made sense at the time?
No, it wasn't a tough decision, because it was the right decision at the time. We couldn't create a competitive training environment in Scotland for many reasons. You know, we didn't have the sparring partners, we didn't have any role models, we didn't have outdoor courts, so it was, you know, it was really quite quite impossible to let him go further. And you know, when he decided that he wanted to go and train in Spain, and that came after a chance game of racquetball with Rafa, then it was about, you know, looking at some options in terms of training venues or academies, and making a decision on which one to go to, and then making it happen. You know, financially making it happen. I just, can you cut that just now? And we just start. Continue.
Forgot where we were.
We had to take a short break and move seats. But we were talking about your decision to send Andy to train in Spain, and that it came after a racquetball hit with Rafa.
Yeah, that's right. Spain had played Great Britain in the final of the European 16 and under team championships in Andorra. And when the match was finished, and they'd gone back to the hotel, it was a big kind of sports complex at the hotel, and Andy had gone to play racquetball with Rafa, and Rafa was telling him about what he did on a daily basis, training-wise, and that, you know, he didn't go to school, that he trained outdoors on clay with Carlos Moya, who was the world number one at the time. And Andy came on the phone later on that evening, which was quite unusual for him to phone home. Usually only phoned if something was wrong. And he was saying, oh, and Rafa does all this, and who do I have to play with? You and my brother at the university, and I want to go to Spain, and I'm not going to be able to keep up if I don't go to Spain. And, you know, I was holding the phone away from my ear because he was shouting down the phone, and I said, well, that's fine, when it's the Easter holidays, this was February time, and I said, we can go over and have a look at some places in Spain if you want. And he said, yeah, that's what I want to do. And it was at that point that I think he had realised that he needed to do more if he was going to keep up with some of the best juniors in the world. And the thing is that, you know, when you have kids, you know, especially as they get older, when it's their decision, they're far more likely to stick with it rather than you tell him he's got to go to Spain because it's the best thing for him. So it was, you know, it was what he wanted to do. And we went and looked at a number of academies, and he chose the Sanchez Casal Academy. And it was one of three that we looked at. And he was very happy there right from the first moment, because he knew a couple of people already who were training there, a couple of juniors. And he was very, very well looked after by Emilio Sanchez and Sergio Casal, because they saw the potential in him, and they gave him a lot of opportunities that perhaps some of the other younger players didn't always get. And when they had big players come into the academy, like Coria, like Moya, if they came in for an odd week to do some training, Andy always got the chance to have a hit with them or a set with them, which is phenomenal, because when you're an aspiring young player, the closer you can get to the guys at the top of the world, whether that's talking to them or hitting with them or even just watching them at close range, it's worth its weight in gold.
Absolutely. I love the story. So when now you're working with these junior players, and each of them has a tennis parent or two, are you talking and sharing your experiences with those parents, or what advice do you give them as they're watching their children aspire to reach the point that your boys have reached?
Well, I try to do that when I get the opportunity. I don't get loads of opportunity to do that now. I'm working more on the women's side of the game, and you know, on the Fed Cup role, and I'm trying to more, I think, help the coaches of those players to be an extra pair of eyes and an extra pair of ears. But, you know, when I do get the opportunity to talk to other tennis parents, it's, you know, I'm very happy to share any of my experiences. But I think what you always have to remember is that tennis is an individual sport and everybody's different. So, you know, most of the players that are at the top of the game have come through quite different paths to get there. It's not that one route is the right route, but I think you can pass on lots of the lessons that you've learned and lots of the mistakes that you've made, and you know, just to talk to them about the importance of doing the right things at the right time and not getting over occupied with winning at a young age, more about the development of the game, that it's not so important who wins at 12, it's more that you're building a game that's going to hold up in the future. Because that is a trap that many parents fall into, is you know, putting too much emphasis on the winning at a young age. But again, I would just go back to the whole thing of making sure that they are enjoying it, and that you're not in any way as the parent putting pressure on them to perform by the way that you behave. And sometimes we can do that inadvertently. You know, kids pick up on everything that's around them, and so it's really crucial that no matter how bad you might be feeling about something, or you know, how how disappointed you might be in a performance or a result, is not to let them, or a shot even, you know, when kids look across during a match and they maybe see you with your head in your hands or shaking your head or something, they pick up on all of these signs, and that can have a negative effect. I just think it's so important to really show support and encouragement and find the positives in everything that you know, possibly can. And I think, you know, in all the years that I was coaching my kids and other kids that I've worked with, the only time that I'm disappointed is if there has been lack of effort. And that has happened very, very rarely, because it's part of the work ethic that I insist on from a very young age, that it's okay to make mistakes, it's okay to lose, but it's not okay not to try. You know, you just try your best, and if your best's not good enough on any given day, well, hold your hand up, that's too bad. But why wasn't it good enough? What do we have to go and work on? How can we help you to get to the next stage? You know, if you're, I don't know, you're struggling with a ball that was high on the backhand, or you just got too nervous, or whatever it was, and you take it back onto the court and you just show them that, okay, so that happened, right? Now we need to just go away and work on that, or we need to make sure that that doesn't happen the next time, or that you can deal with it better the next time. And that's just the way that I've always sort of seen it, is just to try and get them to understand how they can keep improving.
That sounds fantastic. I love when the media shows you in the stands watching your boys during their matches. You are very stoic when they show you during the match, and then when the match is over, win or lose, you smile and you're joyful with your boys. And I love seeing that, and I think you're an excellent role model for those of us looking up to you. So I want to say thank you very much for that, and for taking time to talk with us at Parenting Aces.
You're welcome.